Well, as we just heard there, David began Psalm 38 with a request for relief from God's wrath, a petition for forgiveness and mercy. And David admits that he's not suffering unjustly. The Lord's arrows stick in him because he's made himself a target of God's wrath by his sins. And these sins won't let him rest. They haunt him. That his wounds stink and fester means that one thing has led to another. And now there is an infection, which means certain death. His flesh is rotting on his bones before his eyes. And all this he suffers, he says, because of his own foolishness. And this isn't something that's all that strange to us either. We have laid awake in bed at night, laid awake ashamed, afraid of having our sins exposed, wishing that we could go back in time and undo what we have done. Maybe because we betrayed a friend, or we told a lie, or we let someone else take the blame for what we had done, or worse. The world will tell you, you've got to learn to forgive yourself, and that no one is perfect. We may nod, but we know that deep down inside, that's a bunch of hogwash. We know better. We have secrets in our hearts. Dark secrets, dark daydreams, and past actions and sins that there's no way we can excuse or dismiss. Our iniquities, as David said, have gone over our heads. Now I tell you, these words that David has said, now imagine them in the words of Christ, or in the mouth of Christ. Christ didn't suffer unjustly either. The Lord's arrow stuck in him because he made himself a target for God's wrath. He can't rest on the cross, nor can he satisfy his thirst or break free from his foolish love for us, what his foolish love had done to him. He's the scapegoat. Our sins are pushed into him, and he bears the full cost, all the sorrow, all the regret and shame, all the fear and pain of our guilt. And then David goes on to confess. He says, O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength fails me. And the light of my eyes, it is also gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague. And my nearest kin stand far off. Now when he says, O Lord, all my longing is before you, that word longing there, it has this meaning of, it means to lust or to covet. So David is saying, O Lord, all my lust is before you. And so David is confessing that the Lord knows his sin. He sees his sin and how this has all just backfired. But that's the way of sin. It never delivers. It never satisfies. There are no victimless crimes. And David throws this, the futility of sin, he throws it up as part of his suffering. This, as we've just heard, this is as if David is saying, Lord, you see how I've ruined my mental health by obsessing over what people think of me and nursing old grudges and worrying me. You've seen me refuse to be happy and replay these bad scenes and mistakes over and over again in my mind. You've seen how I've plotted and schemed and lied to advance my own cause while making myself look like a fool in the eyes of those who I respect, and how I've wasted my youth in vain pursuits. I'm my own worst enemy. I thought myself more clever than your law. I thought to take what I wanted, but I never obtained it. My grossest wounds are all self-inflicted. And this covetousness, this lust and selfish desire that is within David, it doesn't just affect him and wear him down. It also has ruined his relationship with those around him, with the community. He has destroyed his family. He's destroyed his friends. And now he's made enemies out of them. There are those who want vengeance for what he has done. And this too adds to David's sorrow. Again, this isn't a far stretch for us. This isn't hard for us to imagine. We've lived it. The cost of our sins is worse than the immediate punishment. We've done evil to ourselves. We've harmed our souls and given ourselves over to futility. But now I ask you again, this confession about the longing and so forth. Place this confession in the mouth of our Lord on the cross. The Father indeed knows the Son's longing, the Son's desire. But in his case, it isn't lust. It's pure desire. And it drives everything from the Son's desire to have us as his own. He comes to the Lord groaning and panting on the cross as his strength fails him. And then the light leaves his eyes. The whole time, his mother and his friends, they stand apart from him. He's isolated by their sins and our sins, by the sins he embraced in order to have us. This desire, this longing that he has, consumes him. Now, there is more in this psalm, more of what sin does to the man and did to the Messiah. But we move along and finally have David, he kind of crescendos with the hope of the Messiah and the hope in the Messiah. He says, "But for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord, my God, who will answer. For I said, only let them not rejoice over me, who boast against me when my foot slips. For I am ready to fall, and my pain is ever before me." So David and we are ready to stop, to halt, to stop pursuing the American dream, to stop trying to gain great wealth and pleasures of the flesh, because that is all the way of death. We're ready to halt and wait on God in whom we hope. There is no other hope, no other God, no other way that we can be satisfied and made whole again. The Messiah, Christ our Lord, is also ready to halt. His sorrow, which is our sin, is before him. And he hopes in the Father. He believes in the Father's mercy. He expects the resurrection, so he's ready to die to end it, to make final payment for us and receive us as his own. And so David and we are bold and unafraid to say, "I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin." Because we hope in Christ, we are ready to halt, to die, and to confess. We're also ready to suffer, not for our sin so much as for the hope that is in us. We're ready to suffer because we've been humbled by the law and seen the stupidity and the sorrow of our sins. And also because we've been exalted in the gospel, exalted beyond this mortal plane. We have felt God's love. We have received his forgiveness. And we know this pain will not last. Our suffering is temporary. Our guilt will pass away. We will follow the goodness of the Lord's mercy and abide with him forever. And David goes on, "Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation." And this last little bit is not some mere abstraction. I mean, we don't ask that God would help us somehow, some way, somewhere down the line. We ask that he would not be far from us and that he would make haste to help us. He, the Lord, our salvation, is indeed near us in Holy Communion. That's where he helps us, removing our guilt, strengthening us for suffering, and preparing us to halt this life and join him in the place that he has prepared for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.